Good morning, good morning. It's so good to be here to share with you a little bit about Fuge and the impact that it had. I did want to bring up one person, though, and she's going to be so embarrassed when I do this, but Brooke, would you come up here? Thank you, Brooke. I wanted Brooke to share something with you real quick. She didn't get a chance to share this yet, and I wanted her to share her something that happened to her during the week of Fuge. Brooke, she'll tell you about it, but Brooke was on a mission field and when we went to Fuge, it was called M-Fuge, and she got to go out each and every day to do some evangelism and things like that. So I wanted her to share about it. She had quite an event all week long. There was different things that kind of happened, and she'll share about it from the wreck to also sharing about Christ. So I know you love me for doing that.
I was on my way to sit down, actually. So we went to Fuge, and my mission site was evangelism. We evangelized it at this park. And all week was great. It was kind of awkward at first because a lot of us didn't really know how to start a conversation. But going throughout the week, it was Wednesday. We had extra hang time. And we were on our way back from the mission site, and we got in a car accident. We were going around a curve, and an older lady was turning into her driveway, but she stopped. So when we went around the curve, we didn't see her until we hit her. So we couldn't get out of our doors in the back, so we climbed out the front, but everybody was okay. I helped the lady out, and she was just worried about her groceries. She said, "Can you help me get my groceries out?" I said, "Ma'am, you don't have a trunk." So we got her out, we prayed with her, we went back to site, we were all good, we were just sore, but the last day we were at site, there was a homeless guy there all week, and we kind of noticed he was a little odd, but we didn't really know, so Ethan actually talked to him the first day, and he didn't really make any sense when he was talking. Well, we were playing with the ducks because they walked right up to you, so why not, and he came up behind us and he said, "Hey." So we were like, "Oh, great, perfect opportunity." So we started talking to him and just had a normal conversation. We were talking about cereal. And I asked him his name, and he said, "My name is Legions. We are of many." And I kind of stepped back and I was like, okay, this is about to be the craziest conversation I'm ever going to have. So we kept talking to him and we tried to get into the kind of the gospel. And we were talking to him and he would change like personalities on us every time we would say Jesus. So he would start out his normal, you would say, and then we were talking to him about the fall, and he changed to a British man, and he stood up straight and he started talking in a British accent and clasped his hands together. And then we started talking to him about sin and what's all sin involved, and he changed to a country guy, and I asked him his name again, and he said Buffet Cheese and Mac. "My name's Buffet Cheese Mac." I was like, "All right, Buffet." And we kept talking to him, and I was trying to explain to him the fall in a better way because he was all over the place at that point. And I said, "So there was this guy, and his name was Satan." And when I said Satan, he smiled like off of the Alice in Wonderland, the cat. He smiled like that and kind of laughed. And we kept talking to him for I don't know why, but I started telling him an analogy about sin, and there was dirt on a towel, and you would put it in the washer, and God was like the washer. He washed you clean, and when you come back out, you're cleaning it, but we're only human, so we're going to keep sinning and sinning. And he stopped me, and he said, "Well, what if I like my sin?" And I was like, "I mean, it's a worldly desire. Everybody likes to sin, but God doesn't like it." And he was like, "No, I don't want you to tell me how to live my life. I don't want you to tell me how to get rid of my sin, because I want to sin, and I want you to sin, because you three are perfect," talking to the two girls beside me. And I was like, And all week we had distractions with Satan in it, and like we would come into our Devo, and like it was just, we couldn't pray either. So we got together and we prayed, and the car accident, Satan was just trying to not get us to do what we were doing. And at that point I was like, he said we're perfect because we're sharing the gospel. He doesn't want us to share the gospel, so he's trying to get to us through another person. And we kept doing it, and after that I was telling him about how God loved us and everything, and he said, "I already know all of that." And I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "I know God died for me. I know every Bible verse," and he started spitting Bible verses off. He said, "I already know everything. You don't have to tell me." And I was like, "Okay." He said, "I want to keep sinning, and I want you to keep sinning, because I don't want you to stand here and tell me how to live." And I was like, okay. And we kind of started wrapping it up, because at this point he was trying to make inappropriate comments to me and the other two girls, which were younger. So I got us out of the situation, and I gave him a track that we had, and I gave it to him, and I said, if you have any questions, there's a number on there you can call or ask somebody in the park. And we left, and he followed us around the rest of the day, and we had to get an adult to get him to leave us alone. But that just shows that spiritual warfare is real, and it's out there. We didn't really know what was going on, but it was definitely there, and the way that Satan attacks you could be in many ways, but the fact that Satan was there, but God overcame that, and God brought us here safe, and we got to see a lot of people at the park come to know Jesus that week, so that's what happened.
Thank you, Brooke. Thank you. God did really do some amazing things. We had 83 of us all together travel to camp. It was a large group of us. We had two big buses that we got everyone there in. And from moment one when we got there, we were hitting the ground running. And Brooke did say there was a lot of distractions. There was quite a bit of distractions during the week. But regardless of what was going on, God was still working in the camp and in the students and in the adults' lives as well. And I think everyone who went really was blessed that week as a result of being there. God taught them a lot. And I really do believe that many hearts and many lives are changed as a result for us to go. And I want to thank you personally for sending us and allowing us to go. I know that for many of you, you sponsored students through scholarships and you helped support us in going to Centrifuge. So thank you so much for all the things that you did. But God did do a work in our hearts, even in the lives of the adults. They can share with you as well how God ministered to them. Our theme for Centrifuge is called Convergence. And I thought that was kind of interesting when I heard it immediately. I was like, that's kind of odd. But basically, their theme was is the idea that we are coming to crossroads. These roads are coming together, these roads here, and that we're meeting. And we've got to kind of decide whether or not we're going to listen to God's truth and follow his truth, or whether we're going to listen to the ways of man and the ways of this world and follow the world's ideas and the world's advice. And so that was kind of the mentality or the thought through the week. And our theme verse was from Psalms 25, verses 4 through 5, which says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." And of course, that's from Psalms, and that was one that David wrote. And the whole week at camp, we were talking about David, and we looked at many different stories from David from the book of Samuel. And I wanted to take one of those sermons that we kind of heard during this week and kind of share it with you guys this morning. So we're going to be in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. So if you take your Bibles and turn there, we're going to be talking about the story of David, which is one of my favorite stories, probably as yours as well, growing up, is the story of David and Goliath. Again, we were being challenged to listen to godly advice, not man's advice. We were challenged to make godly decisions and not listen to the decisions of the world and follow the ways of the world. And we're going to begin in verse 20 with the story of David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It says, "Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, 'Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He keeps coming out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family, father's family from taxes in Israel.' David asked the man standing near him, 'What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is the uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's older brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. We're going to pause right there. So this week coming into to Centrifuge, I knew that we were going to be studying David, so I actually studied it before, but it's kind of funny. Back earlier part of this year, probably back in March or April, I began studying the book of Samuel, and was desiring to do a message series in the fall with the students on David. Well, all of a sudden, Pastor Mike went through a series with us preaching through the book of David, or preaching about David and going through the Psalms and through Samuel. And then after that, I found out when we were going to Centrifuge Camp, they were talking about David as well. And it just seems like, wow, I'm just getting an overload on David. And I'm like, man, it seems like I'm getting over and over again. But what I found through the midst of this is that even though we've come to this passage all throughout my life and studied about the story of David and Goliath and about the story of David, how awesome it is how God can still teach you something new and afresh every time you look at his passage. And God still can speak to you. And so this week at camp, we were studying this and we were listening to the messages that were spoken. One particular message spoke to us about the way that we have to listen to God's advice. And that's kind of what I want to share with you this morning is listening to godly advice, listening to God's, to what he's calling you to do and not listening to what the world has to say. And so here in this very first passage, David is here and he is listening to these men talk about this and he's very interested in it. He's like, who is this Philistine who is talking about our God? He's like, this ain't right. And so David was getting upset. He was getting frustrated. He's probably like me. Like when you start getting frustrated, I like to talk about stuff and I start like, you know, ramping on and just always talking about it. And that's what David was. He's like, man, I want to hear all this information. So he's talking to all the soldiers, talking to all the men about it. And the men were sharing to him about it and talking about, well, his brother overheard it. His own brother overheard that David was doing this. And his brother came up to him and he was basically saying, look, what are you doing? I know the reason why you're doing this. It's because your heart's in the wrong place. It's because you're conceited. It's because your heart is wicked. That's what it says there in the scriptures. His brother was claiming that David was being selfish and self-centered. And he had a wrong attitude. And so here, his brother was kind of giving him advice to basically cut it out. To stop this. Go back to the sheep. Leave this alone. Leave this to us. And he was claiming that David was being selfish. And in our life, that very thing could be true of us. In our own life, that we are not listening to godly advice, that we're like David, listening to people who are around us, who may love us and who care about us, but may be giving us the wrong advice. And there's so many things in this world that is worth standing up for. I know that in our world, in our culture, in our society today, it's not easy standing up for truth. And a lot of times, if you stand up for truth, you'll get pounded on. You'll get hammered on. You'll be labeled stuff. You'll be labeled a hater, especially if you start talking about different topics like abortion or marriage. Those are not popular in our culture today, and they don't like people standing up and speaking truth in those things. And if you start speaking up, you start getting noticed. But the point of the scripture is teaching us that we've got to stand up for what God is calling us out to do. That we must listen to God's voice. And even those around us, even our own family members, may be trying to give us advice, but if it's not godly advice, if it's not from God, then no matter what advice it is or who it's from, it's not what we need to be listening to. Are you listening to God's advice? Or are you listening to your family or your friends or the people around you? Even though they're close to you and even though they love you and although they mean well to you, we've got to listen to the voice of God. So David was being here challenged with his brother, his own brother, and his claim to him was that you're being selfish. You got the wrong heart, but David knew that this is what God was putting on him, a burden for this, and he was calling him out. And while everyone else of Israel was backing up in fear, David was trusting in God and willing to step out in faith with God. And so David continues talking to the men. Even though he heard his brother, what he said to him, he continued talking. And the word finally gets to Saul. Saul overhears this. I mean, that's pretty amazing that he continues talking to a point where the king of Israel overhears this. And so Saul summons David to come see him. And so David goes, and we're going to pick up in verse 32, and it says that David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant," this is David saying, "your servant will go and fight him." David was willing to step out. But verse 33, Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting men from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. All right, we're going to pause there for again. So David goes before the king of Israel, God's anointed king. And the king gives David some advice. I mean, he's giving him advice, but the advice that he's giving him is this. He says, "You are a boy. You're a boy." And what's so significant about this is what he's claiming that David is. He says, "David, you're not good enough yet. You're not old enough. You're not ready. There's something lacking in you. You're not good enough yet." The advice that the king of Israel was giving to David is that there's no way that you could go out there and do this. There's no way in your power, in your way, that you can go out here and take on Goliath like this. And if David was to listen to Saul, the king of Israel, then we would never see what had happened when David defeated Goliath. If David had chosen to listen to the advice of man, God's display in his glory would not have been poured out like it was in that moment when David did that. But David chose to ignore even the advice of a king. The advice of the king. So even those who are in charge, even those who have authority on this planet, does not necessarily mean just because they're in charge, they always have the right idea or the right advice or the right truth. Each and every one of us have to make a decision on what we will follow and what we believe. But we also have to do that internally as well. Many times, I was like that for my own life. I was my own Saul. I was telling my own self that I couldn't do something. I remember when God called me in the ministry, I kept giving excuses why I couldn't do it. I said, "God, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't speak well. There's no way I could do it." And so I kept giving excuses. I was like Saul, constantly giving excuses of why I can't do what God had called me to do. But God constantly was calling me and showing me that he didn't want my abilities. He wanted my faithfulness and my obedience. God showed me that what we need to do is be faithful to him, trust him, and step out on faith and obey him when he calls us to do something. So when I was a Saul in my life, God had to remind me that, no, I don't listen to my voice. I don't listen to my reason. I trust in God. I trust in what he calls me to do, and through me, he will work his power out. It's not on my will, and it's not on my power, and it's not on my ability, but it's through Christ in me that he accomplishes and does the things that he does. We just simply have to trust in God. So when you have that own advice in your own heart and you start talking to yourself, "Well, I can't do that. I don't know if I can do that." When you hear that voice of God calling you to do something, ignore that. Ignore the advice of yourself. Ignore the advice of others and trust in God's word. Trust in God's voice, because he will equip you and he will allow you to do the things that he's calling you to do. You must simply trust in him and step out in faith. When all of Israel was backing up in fear, David put his trust in the Lord. David trusted him, and David stepped out in obedience to what God was calling him to do. Well, the story continues on. David does, you know, try to put the armor of Saul on. Of course, that's kind of me too. Sometimes I'm like Saul, trying to figure out a way to make it work. And here he was trying to make it work for David, and that was not working. And David says, "I can't do this." And so he puts it off, and he goes and he steps out to fight the Philistine. And we're going to pick it up again in verse 31. Sorry, in verse 40. In verse 40, it says, "Then he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. 'Come here,' he said, 'and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.'" Here we have Goliath basically coming to David, and he's shouting out to him, "Am I a dog?" Basically, what Goliath was telling him, he was saying, "You are a nobody. You're a nobody. Who am I that you're coming at me with a stick?" Goliath had already written him off. A boy is coming after me? This boy with a stick? I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds. That's what he was saying. He was saying, "You're done. It's over with. You're going to come after me." And so he had already written David off as a nobody. His claim and his advice from the enemy here was that he was a nobody. And so over and over and over again, David kept hearing these advice from men that he was not good enough, that he was a nobody, and that basically he was being selfish and self-centered. But over and over again, David chose to trust in God and ignored what men were saying. And he totally chose to trust in God in this convergence of his life. This was the path he chose to follow. He chose to listen to God's ways versus man's ways. And as a result of that, God displayed his power and his glory through David and allowed David to conquer Goliath as a result of his trust and faithfulness and stepping out in obedience to him. The challenge for us is that we must be listening to God's advice. Are we listening to God? Are we reading his word? Are we receiving what he has called us to do? And are we stepping out in faith? Or are we like Israel retreating? In this story, this is one of my favorite stories. I always try to figure out who I am as a character. I so often want to look at David and thought, man, he is a hero. He is so awesome. That's who I want to be. And so many times as I'm reading through characters in the Bible, I look for the hero. And of course, that's who I want to mimic. And that's who I want to be. But when it comes to the story of David, as I study it and I realize it, I'm not David. No matter how hard I really want to be David, I'm more like Saul. I tend to get in there and try to fix things my own way and try to get it to work. Saul was calling on his army, and he says, "Army, if you could go defeat it, if you could go do this battle for me, I'll give you great rewards, and I'll give you my daughter in marriage." So he's trying to work the system to try to get it in his favor. And then he's like, "Well, David, if you're going to do it, let me put the armor on you. Let me fix you up." And that's so much me, is that I try to get in there and I try to figure out how it's supposed to happen and how it's supposed to work. And I try to make things work in my way, instead of trusting in God and allowing God to provide and God to work and do the work for us. So many times I'm in there meddling when I should be trusting. In this story, David is not me. In this story, the foreshadow of David is actually Jesus Christ. You see, David is the foreshadow of ultimately Jesus Christ, because only Jesus is the one who can be the hero and bring glory and bring victory. Jesus is the one who came and faced our Goliath. What is our Goliath? Goliath was sin. Goliath was death. And that was what we faced, each and every one of us. As we were born in this world as sinners, we faced our Goliath. But Jesus Christ, who is our David, came and faced Goliath head on, and he died in our place. He conquered sin and he conquered death through the resurrection. And now, because of Jesus, we have life. And we can face life today and tomorrow and for all eternity because of what Jesus has done, because he has delivered us from the evil one. You see, long ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth to live the perfect life that we could not. And it was only through Jesus Christ that we can find salvation. Salvation comes through faith in Christ alone and by no other means. We can't get in there like Saul and work it and fix our way to heaven. No. We can be afraid and back up and just ignore the problem like the Israelites are doing, but that's not going to solve the problem. The only way to solve the problem is for our Lord and Savior to become your Lord and Savior by you trusting in him with your salvation and with your life. And following him in full obedience. You must choose to accept Jesus as Lord. When we first got to camp, I challenged the students with these verses, and I want to leave these verses with you. We were talking about convergence, and we were talking about choosing to follow Christ. And I left them with these verses from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, which says this: "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it." My challenge for you this morning is that you find yourself on that narrow path. It is the path that's least traveled. Many follow the path of this world, and broad is that path, but it leads to destruction. Small and narrow is the gate that leads to life. You're at a point of convergence. You're at a point of decision making. Which path will you choose? Will you choose to follow Christ? Or will you choose to follow the ways of this world? Only through Christ can we have our Goliath defeated. Only by trusting in him can our sins be erased and washed away. It is also through Christ that we find the decisions that we need to make every day. Are you, as you come to the point of your life, making decisions each and every day, are you crossing the right path through godly decisions? Are you listening to the voice of God? We need to be on the right path. Which path are you going to take? Let's pray. God, thank you for this message, Lord. Thank you for your word and your truth, that no matter how many times we look at it, there is always more to learn. There's always more to apply to our life to live more faithfully and more obedient to you, God. God, if any of us in this room find ourselves as some of these different characters that we talked about, I pray that ultimately that we would come to a point to realize that it's only through you that we can find peace and salvation. Many of us need to stop and cease trying to work everything out in life, trying to figure it all out. Instead, just trust totally in you. God, help us to be more faithful and obedient to you. You don't want us to work everything out. You want us to be faithful and obedient. Help us to trust in your work that you have accomplished and what you have done. And I pray this in your holy name. Amen. This morning, if God is leading you to salvation, if God is calling you, if you need to make a decision to choose the path to follow Christ, I want to invite you at this point to come down. There'll be pastors and ministers up front that you can come and talk to us with. If you are here and you're like, I need to stop working, I'm so focused on the wrong things, I'm trying to work everything out, I'm kind of like Saul, then I pray that right now, right where you are, that you would just pray, God, help me to let go and help me to trust you. Or maybe you're just scared and you've been putting off things and you've been ignoring or suppressing things and you're fearful. Well, God didn't call us to live a life of fear, but to trust in him. Maybe you need to come back to God and say, God, I'm trusting in you with whatever situation I'm in. Whatever it is that God is leading you to do, I'm gonna ask that you will deal and minister with God right now. Let him minister to your heart.